Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazz Admaja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Quentin Tracy, Mike Franz, Nathan McKenzie, Joe McIndoe, Trayvon Brady, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Tom Gerke, and Eric Eels. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by...
Lance Laster.
What's up, Lance? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So this episode, Bound, right?
This was an episode of television.
This was an episode of some show. I don't know if it was Smallville. You know, I really had next to no memory of this episode. Like what? My memory of this episode is, it's the girl from How I Met Your Mother.
Uh-huh.
And she's a jealous ex-girlfriend, frames her death, Lex is in a ring of fire at the end.
Okay.
It's literally all I remembered.
Okay.
There's a lot more to it than that. Some for the better, some for the worse.
Yes.
But we'll get into it. So what's your memories of this episode? Because I honestly, I don't think I've rewatched this episode since I saw it in 2004.
Yeah.
What about you?
Same. The only things I remember about this is, you know, Kobe Smulders and Ring of Fire.
So I did not know that Dr. Quinn Medicine was in this episode. So this is Jane Seymour's first appearance on Smallville as well. So that was some delightful guest stars in this episode. So season four, right? You think like, it's the season of the witches. And then as I'm getting into it, I'm like, you know, it's really not, there's really not that much of that. They're kind of isolated scenes and this and that. That does continue here, though. Because once again, you have a lot of scenes about this. You could edit them out of the episode.
It could have totally not been here at all.
Episode would have been much better without it, frankly. So, but anyway, so I just had to comment because as we get into some of these seasons where I'm not so familiar, it's funny to rewatch these. And I'm like, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you. But it's like, really, I haven't seen this episode in like 15 years. So, but in Smallville, the official companion season 4 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. Al Goff had this to say about the episode. It was something we'd done a little in season one with the episode zero, but we hadn't really done since then in terms of exploring Lex's lifestyle before he came to Smallville, especially in terms of the lifestyle of a young billionaire playboy. That's where the story came from. So that's true, right? Although this is after he came to Smallville. I think that's something we neglected because as they established, this happened 18 months before.
And it was just continuous behavior.
Right. So, I mean, I understand why it's like, hey, this is something that, like, as you watch this episode, it's like, things, this should have come up between Clark and Lex at some point before then.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. But, way before.
But we'll get into it, right? So speaking of Jane Seymour, right, we'll get into her as we discuss the episode. She's only in two scenes here, but this is her appearance on the scene. And Goff had this to say about her coming on the show. When we were looking for somebody to play this part, we wanted someone recognizable but not necessarily from the Superman lore. We found out that Jane was available. We liked the idea, after years and years of playing Dr. Quinn, of having her play a character who is much more of a villain. We approached her, and she jumped at the whole challenge of doing that. She liked the idea of Genevieve and how she was kind of dark. I give her credit. She just went for it. She had some great scenes with Lionel and some fantastic scenes with Lex. She was a real delight to work with, as she talks about her being on the show as it continues. So,
okay.
So, yeah, Jane Seymour, you know, she was also close friends with Christopher Reeve. And I believe that was also a factor of her coming on to the show, because mm-hmm. obviously Christopher Reeve had been on it. Now he had passed away, and this is where they really start to kind of reshuffle things, because nothing is official,
yeah.
right? I mean, so even the great Craig Byrd doesn't have the full story on some of these things.
Yeah.
But as I understand it, you know, Christopher Reeve's Dr. Swan is going to play a much larger role this season.
Yeah.
And then obviously he wasn't there to do that. They were trying to get Bridget Crosby, Margot uh-huh. Kidder, to do that. She didn't want to be a part of that. So they were kind of left like, well, what do we do? And as said last week in Spell, like, that witch thing was supposed to be over.
It was supposed to be a one and done. Yeah.
And that shocked me, because this was like the season of that stuff.
Yeah.
But then, as we talked about last time on Spell episode, it made sense, actually, because that was kind of like, that would have been like the first half of the season.
Okay.
Because, you know, 8, 9, 10, that's usually where Smallville cuts it off. So you're like, oh, okay, well, that witch thing's over. But then the mystery of how she even got the tattoo wasn't really explored. Did they show the tattoo? No, they didn't. She showed Clark the tattoo yes. at the end of the episode. But that's laid enough in the game where they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll let her keep the tattoo, I guess. So I'm not sure, right, how it was all going to go down. But they revisit that here, you know, so that's continuing. But yeah, they had to kind of reshuffle, and so it's my understanding that this was, they just had to introduce this character. They had to do someone driving this action.
Yes.
Because Lionel's not a bad guy anymore, you know, and you're like, as we'll talk about here. So this is kind of a strange transitional episode. I had not realized that Jane Seymour's first appearance was here.
Yeah, and it's just kind of crazy to see her on here, because, like, she's, you know, she's a big name, and, like, you know, they're right. They were looking for a big name. Well, they got one, right? And it's just so, it's striking to see that on this show, you know, especially mm-hmm. like after this is after the peak of Smallville also.
Mm-hmm. Rucker Hauer is a year and a half ago, right? You know, so I mean, Jane Seymour in Some Over Time was good for Reeve.
Correct.
In Live Let Die with Roger Moore.
Uh huh.
And I almost said Jane's Bond with Roger Moore. In Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, this honestly, this is kind of
the same time.
No, this is kind of a precursor to it, because yeah. Wedding Crashers came out the year after, 2005. Yeah.
So this was contemporary. So like yeah. she like filmed that and then went on to do this, right? Oh, yeah. Right? So yeah, Jane Seymour, it's interesting. I forget exactly how many she's in, but it's just so random to have uh-huh. her in this episode of Smallville. And then of course her character's relationship with Jason Teague, you're like, well, yeah. Retcons left and right with this situation, it yes. seems. But anyway, let's talk about Colby Smulders as well. She's not in the episode very much. Obviously, she went on to play Maria Hill
mm-hmm.
in the Marvel movies. And also went on to be in How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Which is, there's a funny moment in this
there
episode.
There is. It's we'll perfect.
Wait for it. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah. Last time I watched this episode together just now. So it's yeah. one of those kind of recordings. So we had some fun yeah, watching it.
And the funny thing is, so How I Met Your Mother started right after this also.
Exactly.
So it's just like, it's crazy how things
before
work out.
Before they were famous. Yes. Right? Smallville. And, you know, so Joss Whedon, when he was writing his Wonder Woman script, she was on his shortlist to be Wonder Woman. It was Monica Burkhane.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
I remember
Dr.
that.
Leslie Tompkins from Gotham, as mm-hmm. we all know. and her. And yeah. Colby Smulders was his choice to play Wonder Woman before DC was like, or WB was like, we don't need a Wonder Woman movie. And then Marvel made Captain America and like, well, crap, that was the Wonder Woman movie. Now we have to change it to World War One. So yeah. Anyway, so and you'll see, like, that's why there's a lot of, like, a fan art of her as Wonder Woman and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I guess she could have played it up. She would have been a great Lois Lane, just throwing that out there.
I agree.
She has a lot of different looks in this episode we can discuss as well. Apparently, hey, glasses full Lex Luthor, that's been established. But, yeah, it's interesting. And then, so Lois is gone again
uh-huh.
this week. It made sense that Lois was back for Chloe's birthday party.
Yes. Right?
And she's gone, and I don't think she's in Scare.
Okay.
And she is in the Alicia episodes.
Yeah, she is in the Alicia two.
At least
two
the
parters.
Second one, yeah, because she's karaokeing with Chloe when she shows up. But it's interesting how it's like they haven't really established, like, so what's the deal with Lois? When is she going to be here? When is she not? Because she's at this point, she's still the guest star.
Yes.
She's in 13 episodes, but she's not in the main credits. So you never know, like, when she's going to pop up, when she's mm-hmm. not. So again, this is probably up to this point, this is the episode I remember the least revisiting. Yeah. So it was fun just to sit here and watch it go and look at whoa, they wrapped that up kind of like, oh, that's a random line to see in there. So, look at Martha running the coffee machine.
Yeah.
So, like, it started off and I was like, oh, this is exactly why I hate season four, right? As you would all know. Mm-hmm. And then as it went on, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of interesting. But anyway, let's get into it. Bound.
Welcome home.
How'd you get past my security?
I work for your law firm, Lex. I told them that you've been drinking in Metropolis. and you needed a ride home. They helped me carry you up here.
Why here? Why are you doing this?
Because this is where it all happened. This is where I earned my earrings. The first time. You see, you remember the other night, but you don't remember the first time.
I do.
I had a fiancé, but you didn't know that. I cheated on him with you because I thought that you loved me. And when I broke it off with him, I called to tell you that. But you wouldn't take my call.
I'm sorry. If I had known.
But you didn't. And then 3 months later, I bump into you outside of Corinne's office and you don't even recognize me. It was like I never happened to you. And so I started going through your files. Turns out I wasn't the only one.
Eve Andrews.
Among others. But she was such a fan. I told her that you wanted to make amends. And she agreed to come to the hotel. And then I slipped a little something into your champagne after we made love. It's funny your blood test didn't pick that up.
You rigged the test.
I just switched out the results.
You were the one who sent me to her place. You called the police.
You were supposed to get caught. But you didn't. And so here we are.
Bound is the 9th episode of Smallville's 4th season. It aired on November 17th, 2004. It was written by Luke Shellhaas and directed by Terrence O'Hara. I shouldn't be surprised. It was written by Luke Shellhaas, who also wrote Devoted. So, just throwing that out there.
Hopelessly devoted. Did they use that song in that episode?
No,
I can't remember.
Of course they didn't. No.
That's such a shame. That's so obvious. That's such an obvious choice.
Yeah, so there's a lot of right into it. A lot of thirstiness, right? We start out, we're in this museum. Some, like, Canadian Guggenheim Museum, right?
For some benefit.
They're at the opera, but to me, I thought of it as...
Well, no, it was a hotel. They had just come from the opera.
No, they're at the opera. One of these big things we talk about in these superhero movies, like...
Oh, yeah, there has to be a party scene.
Hundreds of extras and tuxedos and stuff like that.
Now, however, there is absolutely gorgeous piano music playing in the background. Chopin, I believe, is what it is the composer of it. I don't know the exact piece, but that's a Chopin piece, and it's gorgeous.
Well, you know, the piece of music I was most interested in was on her pink MP3 player. What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Okay, that was not the song, but it sounded just basically like it, yeah. Right? I'm not sure which one it is, but by the time I edit this episode together, I will go find it, and that is what we'll play out with.
Sweet. Perfect.
But no, I was like, I know that's not What Is Love, but it
might as well be.
It might as well have been. Remember, this is like right off Night of the Roxbury, just a few years before. So.
True.
Yeah, so Lex, it's interesting. So there's like no dialogue for like the first 2.5 minutes of this teaser.
And there's like, he sees, you know... Colby Smulders, like, you know, of course, in this red dress in this sea of black and white, there is that cool moment with like the extras who are like pointing at Lex. It's like, oh, it's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, that is some good extra. Because I'm thinking to myself, man, if Lex Luthor, that's like the equivalent of like Richard Bronson just hanging out in a lobby. People like,
exactly.
Oh, and like literally, like, good extra work. I mean, I think Terrence O'Hara he's one of Smallville's better directors. And he probably's like, okay, you too. You're like, hey, it's Lex Luthor. So keep an eye out when you watch this episode again. There's two blonde women, I believe.
Yeah, it's right at the beginning.
Right, kind of to Lex's right behind him. Mm-hmm. They kind of pointing at him and laugh. I'm like, so that's a nice little touch, right? Yeah. But usually at this point, like, Clark would walk up or somebody, right? But no, it's Lex just by himself.
Yeah.
Out on the town of Metropolis at the opera. And then she, like, makes eyes at him, and then she disappears, and he has to follow her and all this stuff. So, looking forward, if her objective was to, like, get his attention and keep his attention.
Okay.
She shouldn't have, like, played so hard to get.
Well, she knows him, you know?
Ah, that's true.
So she knows...
She knows how he works.
She knows how it works, and, like, she's... Like, everything she's doing, like, you know, is strategic. Red dress, you know, like...
It's like in The Matrix.
Exactly. So she knew exactly what she was doing.
So he finally tracks her down, and she's listening to this pink MP3 player. Excuse me. Don't want to get too futuristic.
Correct.
Lex, she had a pink MP3 player.
MP3 player.
And he's like, what are you listening to? And it's like this song.
She's like, my favorite song.
And then he's like, what's your name? She's like, does it matter? That was actually a legitimate question. She really wanted to know
that's
that, Matt.
True.
Because then she says later, you could have said, what was her name?
Shannon.
I'm just as bad as Lex, excuse me.
Dang.
But like she said, she's like, you said, oh, hey, Shannon, good to see you. And then she wouldn't have done any of this, right? Yeah. But, you know, so they go back to a hotel. And and again, the thirst is at 11.
Oh, yeah, because, like, they got some, you know.
Just the way this is even shot. Dude, yeah,
they got some Miramax stuff going on in the elevator. Like
soft fades between shots. Yeah. They're, like, necking each other. Yeah, we're getting all the angle. Now,
pushing each other up against
the walls and stuff. Now, the security camera angle was interesting, I thought, because it kind of sets it up for later. Then they get in a hotel room. You know, it's like, again, I like last week on Spill, I was like, what, am I watching Charmed? And then I'd be like, am I watching Melrose Place? What am I watching? Like,
yeah,
I was like, you would not see this in the first three seasons of Smallville.
Now, absolutely not.
I will say, this is Lex Luthor's world in Metropolis, so a little more acceptable here than it would be in, like, for high schoolers, I think.
That's true. I mean, it's a good thing we don't see, you know, Jason and Lana doing this.
Yeah, no, we do not.
Because that would be inappropriate, ladies and gentlemen. That would be inappropriate.
Well, she's 18 now.
It's inappropriate, ladies
and he's
and
been
gentlemen.
Fired from the school.
It's inappropriate, ladies
so
and gentlemen.
So they're two adults. They know what they're doing.
It is inappropriate.
Inappropriate and churlish. Now get the hell out of my classroom! Key and Peele. If you haven't watched it, check it out. I've turned a lot of you guys into Community, apparently. My next objective is to turn you into Key and Peele.
Watch both.
Also on Hulu. All my favorite shows are on Hulu. Star Trek, Smallville, Community, Key and Peele. Mount Rushmore right there.
There you go.
Oh, Twilight Zone. Anyway, moving on. so, you know, we fade out. No, there's like a time, like, you see the glass of champagne. Now, was her glass not drunk and his was, right? That was the deal?
There was a little...
There was some left in one and not another, so they kind of like hints like, oh, what's going on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like night to day, and then we see Lex, like, you know, we kind of pan over, we see Lex in the bed.
He's
we don't see who's next to him or what's going on.
We see their clothes on the floor and all that stuff.
And then we hear like the door knocks, like, housekeeping, you know, you were in a hotel, and you either, like, I guess, you know, they were in the moment, and who knows what time it is. It could be like 3 p.m., you know?
It's true.
Even for billionaire playboys, 3 p.m. is pushing it, right? Bats are nocturnal.
Thanks, Alfred.
So who knows what time it is, right? They didn't put up the whole do not disturb thing because they're, you know, they're in the moment, right?
That's correct.
And or she took it off, right? Because she left. Spoilers. So the housekeeper just comes in.
Yes.
Right?
Now, granted, they do that, but when they see that, like, you're like sleep in the bed, they're just like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. What if they see a dead body, Lance?
Well, they scream. And it wakes up Lex, and then he has a Godfather moment.
Yeah, yes.
We're seeing, like, dead body and blood on and stuff all over himself.
And I guess she looked enough like
Aunt Robin. She was a brunette enough, so.
Yeah, and, okay, they drop a line later, which is really creepy, but we'll talk about it when we get to it. But they, obviously, he's got that, like you said, Godfather moment. Perfect. Mm-hmm. His hands are cut in blood, and it's like, somebody say! Uh-huh. Very appropriate, right? And then we come back and we see
News.
Yeah, the news, the report of, you know, him getting arrested and let out of the
program.
KPAZ Channel 54.
Yeah, it
was not 52.
It was not, unfortunately.
They hadn't caught on yet.
Yeah. But it's a billionaire bloodbath. These headlines.
Like, no comment. Like his lawyer.
The Dina Meyer lookalike?
Yeah, you thought it was Dina Meyer.
I did for a hot second, yeah.
So
Claudette Merck, I think is her name.
Yeah, she was in an episode of Fringe, I believe.
She was.
So we cut from her, like, leading him out of the courtroom and all that, and to them watching it on TV, you know, which is an effective cut there. And she's like, look, Lex, give me some explanation here. You know, your hands are covered in blood, and tell me, you know, who was she? He's like, I don't know. She had a PKB3 player. That's all he has to say about her. So, you know, they have their back and forth here, and you can like, what's up? There's like, there's something going on
there's
here.
There's something,
then?
Yeah. They
address it later. Of course, any woman of Lex Luthor's right, it's going to be complicated, right?
However, but you see in the background, though,
yes,
like walking in into the room, you see Colby Smulders.
Yeah. But she's wearing glasses and a pantsuit, and there's a hair back and a ponytail. So I was like, we were sitting here, I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
Now, give them credit. They at least kind of show her there. And you're like, oh, all right, but she worked for a law firm, right?
Yeah.
Because if they hadn't, and she's just been the assistant, you're like, what?
Yeah.
But it was just like, really? She's right there. Lex, exactly. Come on. But establishes, you know, glasses. They throw off Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
That's why he's not going to know that Clark Kent is Superman. This is a mythology building episode of Smallville, guys. Let me tell you. But it was ridiculous to say, like, that is clearly Kobe Smulders. Lex. Yeah. Wake up, man.
Now, even though, like, this is, like, pre-Kobe Smulders being famous, you could still tell that that's her.
You could tell it's the same actress, right? So, anyway... then Clark comes in around the same time.
Yeah.
And the lawyers leave and stuff. He's like, did you do it?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, man,
right?
Clark.
It's like, way to be a supportive friend.
I like how he says, I take it you saw me doing the walk of shame.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Lex kind of goes up to him, puts his arms on him. As Rosamund was saying, they learned the touching from John Glover, right? So he's like, touches Clark's arms and all that. And he's like, what night of passion, you know, just one of those things that really happens.
Yeah, right? And then Clark is like, you slept with her and didn't learn her name?
Yeah.
Which is a good question.
Thank you.
It's like, come on.
These are good questions to ask. Lex kind of plays a whole night of passion kind of deal. And of course, you know, Clark doesn't really think he did it, but you need to go ask him for himself. Now, there is a deleted scene.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't really figure out where it went.
Yeah.
It was either here or
right after, like, or later.
Because it's at the school, and then it's Chloe and Clark are talking, and he's like, walking out of the torch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was, like, the end of another scene. Like, it's hard to tell, right? Because sometimes they attached the original, the final scenes in there with them, but
that's
they didn't.
True.
So it was near the early part of this episode, though, because before he goes, he's Lionel.
Okay.
In jail. And Chloe's like, oh, you sure? I thought about trusting him once and, you know, all this stuff. So it could have been here. It could have been later. But we'll just get out of the way now.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then the lawyer shows up at school. He's like, Clark Kent, you know, getting your nose in my vest. I was like, was it going to be Sheriff Adams? Like, oh, no, it was the lawyer. And she's like, getting your nose in my investigation, blah, blah, blah. And it was really a nothing scene.
Yeah.
So I can totally see why they cut it. Maybe they decided to put in more Skinamax action at the top of the episode.
Yeah.
Because this deleted scene is like a minute long or something. It's really nothing. But but it was like the whole crux of it was more like, I think Chloe, like, say, hey, watch out. I thought I could trust Lionel once, too. And I couldn't.
And she eventually, like, you know, when we get to that scene later, like, she says basically the same thing.
Right.
But that was after he visits.
Here's a thought, guys. Why don't you cut the stupid Lana scenes?
Oh, like the one that happens right now?
Yes. Where
she's, like, dreaming of freaking Isabel. And,
yeah, we see lots of stock footage of, like, Crusade.
Yeah.
And her tracing. And then getting energied.
Yeah.
And then from Spell for getting burned. But we see one new Capote, don't we, Lance?
Yeah, we see Jane Seymour walk up.
Dr. Quinn Medicine.
And she says something to her.
Yeah. And then her eyes turn purple.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, Isabel's smirk was very Fiona-like from Eurotrip. Like, the way that Lana looked. Just the way that she looked and, like, that mischievous look type of look. Again, all these things are happening around the same time.
That's right,
man.
Yeah.
All these things are happening at the same time.
So at this point, you're like, oh, I mean, okay, in retrospect, right? Just thinking about. So you see Jane Seymour, and then she shows up, and she's Jason's mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, oh, is she some kind of like ageless person? There's an episode in this season called Ageless,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the worst episodes of the whole show. And I remember, like, looking forward, you're like, because they released the episode, like, oh, man, they're going to explain that Jason's mom was, like, some witch who's ageless, and all, because that's why she was, no, complete BS.
Yeah.
It was the whole, like, doppelganger thing where Lana looked like her ancestor, just like Jiven Naveem Teague looked like her ancestor. I'm like, really, guys? That could have been really cool. Side note, another thing, looking at season 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you look at the end of the season, it's like Dominion and Prophecy. Like, oh, man, they're going to talk about Darkseid. It's going to be some good stuff.
Yep.
And I really like Dominion because it's odd and all that.
Yeah.
But those episodes should have been about Darkseid.
I agree.
Much like Ageless and Forever should have been about this, you know, this ageless super big bad of the season. But anyway, moving on from that, it's a terrible nightmare. She wakes up and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wakes up in a cold sweat.
Yeah. And Jason is not there next to her, thank goodness.
Thank God. Because again, I think this is probably the fourth time I said this episode. That would be inappropriate, ladies and gentlemen.
So we cut to the prison.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen. We haven't seen Lionel since transference.
Correct.
So this is he's had a couple weeks off and now he's back. And he shows up at the prison and Lionel, he walks in. It's almost like going into Luther Mansion because Lionel's up on the upper level. He's like smiles and he sees Clark and he comes down. Clark, so glad you came. Like he sticks out his hand
and Clark just kind of looks at it and he's like, I understand.
but for many reasons though, he's like, does he have another like stone over there?
Know,
like, what's
right?
he going to do? And here's the thing, like, this is a plot hole for like, not necessarily this episode, just this season. Like, So Lionel should remember that I was going to get this stone and switch bodies with Lex.
Yeah.
And the next thing he knows, he wakes up in this riot. And
he's
like, he doesn't
cured.
Ask. Like, the last thing he remembers is touching Clark with a stone.
That's
right?
Correct.
I mean, like, in theory, that's what it should be. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to do this amnesia crap, it needs to be like, I need to understand when it started.
Yes.
And they should have both remembered. Like, I get why they didn't do it. Because they still they don't know what
it's
they're
a KO
doing
to keep Clark secret.
Well, yeah, that's just, no, it's different. But they don't know what they're doing with Lionel either. Because this is an interesting turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they, this is the thing, they zigzag for the rest of his entire time on the show up till his last two episodes.
That's correct,
right? Lionel Prime, anyway. So mm-hmm. we want to call him that. But anyway, they sit down and Lionel had asked to talk to Clark because he can't. He's trying to talk to Lex, and you know, and so they have this meeting here.
Yeah,
and they're using this set, which makes you really think this is a set from like another show, like mm-hmm. a cop show or something.
Yeah,
and so that they start talking about the situation, and this is when I was like, oh, this is like Silence of the Lambs stuff going on. Although it's not an episode, it's not a movie pause an episode. I think it's just a inspiration.
Agreed.
But I'm not going to say, well, this is clearly Silence of the Lambs,
yeah.
right?
Well, yeah, well, see, well, it's interesting because, like, we have that, and then, like, a little bit later on, you actually get, like, an actual
reference. Yeah,
animal,
yeah. It's also a little bit like Fatal Attraction. Not quite, but
close.
Oh, we're like Wicker Park.
Yeah.
It is, but
like
no,
Wicker
Park.
But
no, we're not going to call it that, though.
Okay.
Another movie came out at the same time, Josh Hartnett. Josh, I'm Too Good to Be in Superhero Movies, Hartnett.
Yeah, and with your girl, Rose Byrne, who could have been a good a Lois Lane.
Should have been Lois Lane in Superman Returns. Looks way more like Margot Kidder and looks older than 17, which is what Kate Bosworth looked like when she's supposed to be the mother of a 5-year-old son. Anyway.
Yeah, but she went on to play Moira McTaggart.
Yeah, who also didn't age at all.
That's correct.
30 years of X-Men. So, anyway. So Clark and Lionel are talking about this, and...
First of all, like Lionel, like mentions to Clark that like Lex's patterns.
Yeah, his patterns are you're gonna look for a car. It's gonna be at the hotel. Like, yeah, Lex likes to sneak away in the night. Just not to worry about taking her home. Like, damn,
I know.
But he knows his son, right?
That's right. And also that's more insight into like you know these into like the elite and these people with like so much money that they can
the
do
they
these
operate.
Things and the way they operate, yeah. Which is like. Interesting, but also at the same time, very scary.
Oh, indeed, yeah, because, but the creepiest thing, this whole thing, was just, and he's like, oh, was she brunette? And Clark's like, yeah. He's like, ah, reminding him of Lillian. I'm like, whoa! Well,
yeah, first of all, creepy. Second of all...
Lex has an edible complex.
Yes. And second thing, wasn't his mother a redhead?
No, see, we always thought she was going to be a redhead. I'm glad we brought this up, because this is something, because we first saw her in Memoria,
yeah.
Right, last season. And there was so much to talk about in that episode, I didn't really get to talk about this very long. But Obviously, you know, Lex has red hair.
Yes.
Right? Or had red hair.
Uh-huh.
And then Lionel doesn't. And Lionel has a thing for redheads. And
yeah,
because
he has a crush on Martha. It's one of my favorite things about this show.
Yeah, Martha, and then Tess's mom, spoilers, and Lucas's mom, uh-huh. Right? So you're like, oh, okay, I get it. He's a thing for redheads, right? So you're like, when you finally meet Lily and you expect her to be a redhead, she's not. You're like, what? I mean, I don't know the genetics. I'm sure two non-redheads can have a redhead child. But that was just surprising to me that she wasn't. So it's like, whoa, since when did Lex have an Oedipal complex? What is this now? And this ties into actually, you know, jumping ahead a little bit, a deleted scene from Scare.
Okay.
Originally, Lex's nightmare was going to be like him marrying his mom, but then getting stabbed. But instead, they decided like, so they're setting it up here, I think. You know, so it's the next episode, I guess. So it's really weird.
That is weird.
So they cut that out and just used stock footage from Hourglass and Terminator 3 again.
Okay.
So, to be fair, they didn't use the Terminator. See, we always say, oh, that footage of Terminator 3. Okay, they use it twice. They use it in Scare,
mm-hmm.
and they use it in Apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
But when they introduce it in Scare, they use stock footage of Hourglass. So it's like, you think it's like all over the place. So, and again, more deleted. Season 4 is fully deleted scenes, like mm-hmm. every episode. So it's interesting. They kind of shifted gears of like, oh, what are you even trying to say? Like, they brought the actress back, you know, that she can come back a few times. I mean, she appears in Lexmas again and stuff like that. But that's just a weird thing. And I'm glad they kind of swayed away from that.
I agree.
Sure, fine. He has a type, whatever. But don't say, oh, yeah, it's because it looks like his mom. Like, that's weird. You ever see an episode of Frasier like that?
Yes.
An episode of Frasier like that.
Yeah, with Tom Hanks' wife. Yeah.
And they're watching home videos of his mom. And they're like, what? Anyway.
Frasier's like, dear God.
Dear God.
I love Frasier. So after that, we go to the talent.
We go to the talent, and Martha is struggling with the coffee machine just to give her a line of something to talk about, right?
Yeah, just, yeah, and to give them something to talk about that's not a man.
All right, so Bechdel test, pass!
I mean, for this little trivial bit of dialogue, and then she, but the important part of the scene, though, is that she's like, Lana, you have a visitor. Mm-hmm. And good piece of acting by Lana in this entire scene.
No, I gotta say, Kristen Kreuk, on point in this scene.
Oh, yeah.
She has to go through a whole lot of emotions, and she plays it perfectly. Like she just had a nightmare about someone she's about to meet,
yeah,
and has to play it off, and it's the mom of her boyfriend that he doesn't want to talk to her. So all the stuff is going on, and hey.
Well done.
Best acted scene in the whole episode right here by Kristen Kreuk. Maybe
yeah.
So.
I agree, 100%. Because, yeah, she's like, me, I have a visitor. And so, like, even from that, like from right there when she says that, I was like, she's on her game right now.
Well, I think she's, again, people raise their game to level their opponent, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got Jane Seymour up in here, right? Yes. So this is...
You better bring your A game.
She's legit.
Yeah, you better bring your A game.
Yes, she's... So what do you think she's most famous for?
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Yeah, but I would say Live and Let Die. It's a Bond girl, you know?
Yeah, but that...
And not
but,
like Terry Hatcher was like the two-scene Bond girl. She was the Bond girl of Live and Let Die.
Yeah, no, right? I know that, but like... That show was on for a while, and like that's what like made her name, though. You know what I mean?
Maybe in this, and the time, it's like, was it NBC like in the '90s?
Yeah,
on like Sequest, and
yeah, it probably came on after Sequest.
After Sequest, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Exactly. So,
and then and it's funny because like at that point in time, she was known for that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now in 2019, she's known for Wedding Crashers.
I would say people still see her, and it's like Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Now,
no, they see her as, you know, Mama Cleary and hanging out with Owen Wilson. That's what they recognize her from.
Well, I have a Jane Seymour story that I wish I had.
Okay.
That's what I should say here. Is you know, I just pulled up for IMDb.
Okay.
You know how in IMDb there's like the first four things, right? Yes. Live and Let Die, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Somewhere in Time, Wedding Crashers. We mentioned all four of those. So we have mentioned the Jane Seymour Mount Rushmore. Thank you very much. So, you know, I used to work on the local talk show here.
Yes, you did.
And I was contract at the time, so I wasn't like an everyday person there, so they just called me in on occasion.
Yeah.
And like I came in one day, and like the previous day, Jane Seymour had been there. And I was like, oh my God, Jane Seymour. Like mm-hmm. all these other people, like, oh, no, from Smallville. Like, because this is literally just 5 or 6 years after this episode.
That's correct.
Or after this season, even. So I'm like, oh my God, I just missed Jane Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently some other people there were big fans of her. And they're like, there was lots of conversation about it.
I'm sure.
And I just missed out. But anyway, I was so close to meeting Jane Seymour. But here, Lana gets to meet Jane Seymour.
She does for the first time. And, you know, and it's interesting. So she's wearing red as well. So, like, you know.
She was wearing red. Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Second Sight, Season 2. Not confused with Second Skin from Season 3. Much better episode.
I was about to say Second Skin. I was about to say that. But no, so she and, like, so the mysterious women figures in this episode are both wearing red, like, at their introductions. So that's kind of interesting.
Oh, that's true. I seriously doubt they thought that through that.
I don't know. I think that's a detail they probably did, and they did that on purpose.
Well, this was interesting. Lana offers her some tea. I'm like, it's because she's English. Like, you're in a coffee shop, Lana. Come on.
It's true.
And yeah, so she's Jason's mom. And as we find out, you know, Jason's dad is recast as Robert Ricardo from Star Trek Voyager. So good on you, Robert Ricardo, from Jane Seymour, right?
Get in there.
Mr. T's got some game, right? This whole season, they don't. And you know, we'll see. They never really mentioned Jason's dad. It's implied that he's dead.
Yeah.
And then later on, he's like, I faked my death. I'm Edward Teague or whatever, right? I'm like, what? So I don't know. But so Jason came here, and him and his mom aren't talking, basically, and she wants to come check on him.
Yeah.
At least that's what she claims.
That's what she claims. She's playing the victim to Lana to try and gain her trust and sympathy. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious she knows something, and Lana's, like, freaked out this entire time, and she's holding on for dear life, trying to like make it through this conversation. Mm-hmm. But she does let her know that, like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go behind Jason's back and blah, blah, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And they seem to leave on good terms. And of course she keeps, you know, giving Lana like praises of affirmation. She's like, oh, you are so beautiful.
It's like intuition, or it's just like, I really know what's going on here. She's like, oh, you know, when you feel sobby,
yeah,
you act as if you had seen me before. How could that be? And Lana's like, I don't know. But it's just, it's unsettling. And you're like, oh, she knows more than she's letting on.
Obviously.
Right?
Obviously. But for the audience, that's just like, see, remember from the beginning of the episode?
Yeah.
Like,
that was two scenes ago.
Exactly. Anyway.
What are we going to do next, Lance?
So after that, we go to the Talon and
the Torch.
Sorry, God,
I make that same mistake.
I know, right? we were just in the Talon. Now we're going to the Torch, and Clark is doing some investigative reporting. He's following those leads that Lionel gave him, and
but he still doesn't know how to Google a car.
Yeah, he has to.
Chloe's like, move.
Exactly.
What was that? SNL skit with Jimmy Fallon back then, like IT guy. He's like, move,
yeah.
Defrag. Like, that's basically what she does to him.
Here. She does. She's like, Chloe looked good in this episode, by the way.
The hair. She's finally got the bob haircut now.
She has like her Metropolis Chloe look.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Episode. Yeah, she pretty much keeps this look all the way through like season 7.
Yeah,
but they were messing around with Chloe hair for years. I mean, you've always been a commentator on Chloe's hair the last.
Yeah, well, because like I think you know early on, I think they did it like
she kind of had like a wave,
like she had like a whole lots of things, right? Yeah. And like sometimes it was like, are they just trying to make her hair bad on purpose so she looks worse than Lana?
Beginning in season 3, awful haircut.
Yeah,
awful haircut. And then you know finally like, and then she had the curls. You're like, I don't know, but now you're right. She's selling to the lowest lane Bob as she should have, uh-huh. Right? And I like what she says to Clark when she comes in, and he's like, I went to see Lionel in prison. She's like, why? Are you short on community service hours?
That's a good line. So they just have more, you know, more back and forth about that. This is where we get our Hannibal Lecter reference.
Yes. Or is it later?
No, it's here.
A couple scenes.
It's here. Cause okay. Cause they're talking about like, you know, the women that, that Lex has been involved mm-hmm. with. And this is where we find out that, this has happened 13 times to Lex,
13 times.
Or he's done this to 13 women
that we know about.
Yeah, exactly. Also we find out
he's
that,
like, well, Lex said it was only,
only one time. Yeah. She also makes a comment about his attorney and how they call her the Barracuda.
Sarah Palin is attorney.
So whatever. Clark goes to investigate because they find an address.
Yes, they get the address. Eve Andrews
is
the name of the woman that pops up, the name on the car. It's at this house. And Clark goes, it's funny. So he speeds up. He just opens the door.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is it open? Like, oh, now I know why it's open.
Yeah, because somebody's already in there.
So we see all these pictures of Lex. And we see a picture of Lex and Victoria.
Yeah.
From season 1. You don't see her enough, like, to credit the actress. So it's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, oh, good, really good continuity
there. It's
like,
very good for you.
That.
And so we're just like, oh, so this person was a stalker. And then we look up and we see Lex is, like, burning these photos.
Yeah, he's burning evidence. And as soon as I heard it again, I remember that we used to laugh about it.
Yes, we
Clark's
did.
Like, Lex, what are you doing? He's like,
save
my ass,
Clark. It's like liar, 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 liar. He's like, what are you doing in here? I'm kicking my ass.
Do you mind? And then you hear like sirens and stuff. Yeah. And he's like, Clark, you gotta help me. And then so I don't know what they did here. Like,
who knows?
Lex didn't super speed off.
So
maybe Lex was smart enough to like park far away or something. I don't know how Clark being there would have helped Lex more than Lex just hearing the cops or mm-hmm. I don't know. But and you're like, wow, that's convenient, but we find out why later. I mean, you assume he's being set up here. You don't know who or what the motivation
Correct.
Is. So let me go back to Lex and Clark at the mansion, and they're talking about all this. And Clark's, it's good. Clark's playing it cool because he knows more than Lex does, but he's not letting him know. He's like, hey, so what was her name and all this stuff? And Lex is telling Clark stuff he already knows.
Yeah. And then that's when, you know, he mentions, you know, he got a call from Corinne's office about the stalker mm-hmm. and that's why he was there and everything. And then that's when Clark, you know, lets on that he's, you know, been working with Lionel.
Right. It's interesting because this whole time Lex is thinking, it's my father. And, you know, if I were Lex, I would assume it was probably my father, you know, mm-hmm. because Lionel has done nothing but, you know, these kind of things. It's even earlier, right, when Corinne, it's like, oh, you know, maybe you were drugged. And Lex is like, wouldn't be the first time. So there's, you know, Lex has had to deal with this crap his whole life, especially recently. So I understand why he would think it's his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But Clark's like, I don't think it's your dad. And I went to see him. He was very helpful. And
he's like, Clark, me and my father are enemies.
Yeah, like he's like, you need to pick a side. Can't stand on the fence on this one, Clark. You need to pick a side. I'm like, well, okay. He's really getting
He's actually riled serious
up
about
now.
This, yeah.
Yeah. And so what happens next?
So next, it's Clark and Chloe doing more investigating at the hotel.
Yes, because they look at the surveillance footage.
Yes,
you know at the torch.
At the torch. Yeah,
yeah. And
she does the super zoom.
Enhance. She sees that Maria Hill is missing an earring.
Yep,
and
then,
the elevator from all that neck kissing.
Exactly.
And the body. two earrings on it, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, yeah, plus one for Chloe's unseen connections. That's how she finds out about.
Yeah, because she's like, I know people at the bottom.
Yeah,
it's just like she meant, like, you know, the lawyers may know people at the top, but I know people at the bottom. It's like, well, of course you do, Miss Sullivan. But
I've got friends in low places, so
she does real life as well.
So they go to the. They go to the hotel, and I don't know how they knew which elevator it was, right? Because, you know, there's many.
Unseen connection.
Yeah. No, it's just one, right? So they go in the elevator there, and Chloe's like, let's reenact it. I'm like, yeah, you want to reenact it.
Uh-huh.
But this was, as a Clark Schiffer, like, this was our scene this season. I mean, obviously we had Devoted.
Yes.
This was another scene mm-hmm. like that.
Throwing us another bone.
And Clark's being so awkward about it, and he's like. I'm like, Clark, you're an idiot. First of all, you're an idiot, Clark. Yes. But
she's like, come on. She's like, we have to do this for truth and justice.
Yeah. And then she's like, what if his hand was here? And he said, this is a very funny, this is the kind of awkward, like sexuality I like on Smallville, right? This is the elevator scene I want. Not the one from the beginning. This Correct. Is the one I want to sit down and watch with my family. Okay. But so they're going like left and right, and then Chloe pushes him up against the wall, and they're kind of like looking at each other like, I think Clark's about to maybe get into it.
Maybe.
See, it's a Rorschach test, this scene, because all the people are like, Clark never liked Chloe. Ah, they're like, see? He's just looking at her like a blank stare. He doesn't care. But no, the view, you're like, oh, there's something there. I mean, that's exciting, right? I'm saying. So it's like, so they're like, they're staring at each other here because they're reenacting the way they moved around and tried to figure out like where the earring would have fell in the elevator. And then the doors open. It's like this mom, these little twins.
Yes, I know.
It's just kind of like the Shining.
The Shining, yeah.
And like, oh no, come on, it's fine, come on in.
We weren't doing anything.
Like, no, we'll take the stairs. And Chloe's like, well, it's okay though. It's like she really tries to sell it. It's pretty funny, but then they look down the elevator shaft there, and they're like, what if it fell down here?
Yep, and so then Clark, he has a super enhanced with his x-ray vision as well.
Telescopic vision.
Yep.
It's my power, I can call whatever I want. he sees this diving earring at the bottom. So, he retrieves it, and instead of turning over to the proper authorities,
correct,
like he should, he goes, where does he go? He goes to prison to talk to Lionel.
Straight
tomorrow.
To Lionel.
What does Lionel tell him?
Well, first of all, like he's wearing, when he's in prison, he's wearing his Superman costume. He has his...
Plus one for blue shirt, red jacket.
That's correct. And then Lionel basically tells him that was his signature. So whenever he wanted to get rid of a woman that he was seeing, the way Lex has been seeing women, he would send them a pair of diamond earrings, and that was his signature of being like, hey, it was fun, but this is over now.
When I was a younger man.
Yeah. Which is like creepy and like really bad.
Yeah, no, but you totally buy it.
Oh, yeah, right? That's something he totally
it's
would
a
do.
Site, because, yeah, the Luthers are all these rich, evil guys, right? Yeah. But it's like, no, the rich, evil guys do this kind of stuff, too. So it's interesting, like, that they approach this with the Luthers.
And then he's just like, yeah, so he's like, it seems like Lex is carrying on my tradition, which is also sick. Like, he's doing the same, like...
Well, you think you would, like, he tries so hard not be his dad, but he's totally his dad in some ways, you know, so...
Yeah, that's the downfall of Lex Luthor, which they do on this show very well. Anyway, so Lionel tells him how to trace the...
as we find out, like, he calls the jeweler and all this stuff, you know, and that's how they find out stuff later on down the road.
Yep. And so after that, so we cut to Lex's, you know, lawyer's office, so the Barracuda's office.
Barracuda.
The Blue Barracudas.
And you know, like, even, like, not remembering this episode, like, okay, she's totally
she's dead.
Whenever there's a scene in a movie or TV show where somebody walks into an office and you kind of see the shape of a body, mm-hmm. but the chair is turned away from you.
Correct.
That person is dead.
Yep.
So he walks in, he's like, come on, Corinne. I drove a long way. Uh-huh. You got some new evidence, right?
Yeah, and because earlier in the episode, like when they were arguing,
we just skipped over her scene. Yeah,
she quit. She quit. And
we find out that they had a thing.
Yes, he's like, did you remember me, Lex?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. And he starts to turn around on her. He's like, I should have known it was somebody. He basically accuses her of orchestrating this.
Yes,
because he's like, you're getting some pleasure out of this. She's like, oh yeah, actually, I kind of am. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because her office had like started that
compiling a list of
the stalkers
of his escapades,
yes.
More than anything else, and so someone in his office would someone in her office would have had access to all these things, and that's mm-hmm. why he's thinking it's, you know, maybe her,
yeah,
you know? And she's like, well, I knew I had a conflict of interest when I joined this case, and she walked. Lex has a thing for redheads, I guess.
Yes, I guess he does.
See, she's a logging bomb.
I know,
she's not a brunette, come on. because she, you know, she had her own pair of earrings, I guess, and all that stuff. So, but yes, now she's gone back to her, and that's what he says. She's like, first you quit, then you call me back. Uh-huh. It's kind of funny. And of course, she's dead, and it's not Like, I was, like, expecting, like Halloween 2 style. Like, she's got, like, a knife in her head or something, right? I mean, yeah. I know it's, you know, WB TV, but hey, we got all kinds of sex. I guess the violence is on the table, too. I don't know.
Which is weird, because I thought, like, it was the other way around.
In America, see, that's the thing. Like, in Europe, it's like, okay, we'll show you a little titillation, but violence, no. In the U.S., it's like, we'll show you as much violence as you want, but no boobs.
Yeah.
It's like, you know... you know, in real life, you know, it's like it's probably more harmful to see extreme violence.
Yes,
because you know, the human body is part of life. All right,
yes.
We'll just move on from that. But I kind of I side with the Europeans.
I do too.
On that, as someone who saw someone's head explode on Star Trek: The Next Generation when I was a small child.
Yeah.
But, oh my god,
mommy, what happened to that person?
TNG season one. Conspiracy is the episode. You check fans know what I'm talking about. So she's dead, and then we see the pink MP3 player.
Yep. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No.
No.
And so Lex like tries to call 911 and they're like, sorry, all lines are busy.
Like, what?
He's like, somebody's been killed. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, all lines have been busy.
Yeah,
it was like,
hold.
What?
Like, what kind of 911 is Metropolis? You know, there's no Superman yet. There's a lot of crime going on. But that is ridiculous. I thought maybe like they had blocked the call or something, but no, it's 911's incompetence, right?
Yeah.
And so he picks up these ear pods and he's like, oh, it's the song, and it's the ear pod from the MP3 player. What's with the season MP3 players? Bart got Clark an MP3 player.
Hey man, listeners, let's go back in time. You know, so when the iPhone was new, but like there was like not the iPhone, but the iPad was like iPod was new, right? And but like there was like all these other things, like, you know, like mini disc players were like the thing right before that.
I was making my custom CDs.
Yeah,
I was going on ShareBear and LimeWire and getting these songs from Smallville, burning them, and then listening to them on my RCA portable CD player.
Yeah,
listening to them on the bus with my headphones with a headband on them.
That's
back
right.
The way headphones used to be. But
exactly.
Yes.
So this
is the rich world of the Luthers.
Yeah, I know.
And lawyers. That's why there's MP3 players.
Yeah. Or like, well, see, I was rocking around with like this blue, like really small storage MP3 player you get like from Target or something.
How many
like,
songs fit on there?
Like 10.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
Right?
I know. Which is why like the iPod was such a game changer.
Changing everything again.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's Aunt Robin. And she's...
Yeah.
Well, okay, so she comes up and she has a gun, right? And she's pointing like, put it down! And she's got the glasses and the ponytail thing.
Uh-huh.
And she does the whole...
Remember me, Lex?
Yeah. What's the problem, Lex? Don't recognize me? Takes off the glasses, puts down the hair,
yep.
And oh my god, it's the girl from the beginning. Once again, establishing that Lex Luthor can recognize people
when
that he has been intimate with, you know, twice. Even if they're just because they're wearing glasses and like wearing a suit and a different hairstyle.
Yeah.
See, mythology building, people. What a brilliant stroke by the So Smallville. Okay. All jokes aside, I do find that interesting.
Yes,
but it is funny. Like this episode is the one that makes that point. She knocks Lex out.
Yeah,
with her gun, and we wake up and Lex is duct taped to a chair in his library.
Yeah, and that's when she kind of
expositions everything.
Yeah. But in here though, this is where we have our other Lana scene.
Yeah, so it's Jason and Lana, and I'm like this again. Like I immediately think you could have cut this out of the episode.
And this happened. So this is our first appearance of Jason Teague in this
episode. 30 minutes in.
Yeah, 29 minutes.
29 minutes in.
Made a note of it, and it's just like, oh my god! And he's like, come on, babe, what's wrong? What's bothering you? Blah 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 blah. And then she says it,
"How I Met Your Mother." That was so funny. She's like, "I met your mother." I'm like, "Oh my god!"
We're both like, "Yes!"
Perfect episode for that. So yes, How I Met Your Mother all around in this episode. And that's pretty much the gist of the scene.
Basically,
like there's really nothing else to it.
It really isn't.
She's like, yeah. Well, she does tell him that she had a dream. Well, she had a dream about his mom, and he's like, well, that's not weird to dream about someone you just met. She's like, but I did it before I met her. And that's why we're like, How I Met Your Mother. Like it's the way they say met mother so many times together. Oh man. So that was fun. And so I must say, like the episode, right, started off, I was like, oh my god. This is season 4 at its worst, right? Complete thirst. And as it went on, I'm like, you know, this is actually kind of interesting. You know?
Yeah.
We have, you know, the Lex thing, the whole life saw the Luthers. We have the Hannibal Lecter thing going on with Lionel and Clark. But then the whole, like, Mrs. Teague thing is like, what is this here for?
Yeah.
And then now we get our, like, exposition from Maria Hill about why she did this to Lex.
Yeah. And so, you know, he had done this to her before. We find out that she had a fiance and cheated on him anyway, because she thought she was going to have something with Lex. And she broke it off.
No, because she thought he loved her.
He loved her, excuse me. And so she broke it off with him, called Lex to tell him about it. And yeah, it's not.
Sent her some earrings.
Yeah, sent her some earrings.
Which instead. She wore that night.
Yes.
Right?
When they went through this whole song and dance again.
It's like, that's the thing. Like, so did he meet her through the lawyer? Like, I'm just kind of confused because.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because they didn't really establish.
Yeah, because she says, like, yeah. So 3 months later, you know, when you come into the mm-hmm. into Corinne's office, I see you. We see each other, and you had no idea who I was.
So I assume that all that happened outside the confines of the lawyer world, right? But again, she looked different. But we immediately recognized her in the first.
It's Kobe
scene,
Smulders.
Right?
I mean, I've had the pleasure of meeting her. Met her at Comic Palooza. Really nice. She is gorgeous in person. She does not disappoint. But she was really cool. She talked to people. She's one of those that like talks to the fans, like for a little bit. You know, makes them feel a little special. Like as
right,
you're getting your autograph.
She worked her way up through the system, starting as the jilted
sure
ex-lover from Smallville, season 4, episode 9.
Sure did.
So. She basically, her whole modus operandi here is, you know, making
revenge.
Lex pay. She was supposed to be caught at the house. Like she had settled.
Oh yeah.
She switched the blood test on Lex. She called the cops, dropped the hint about the address, all that stuff. And, you know, she had access to this file of all the people he had done this to before, right?
Oh yeah.
And that's how she picked this girl. I guess she looked enough like her.
Yeah, yeah. She fit the profile. And she monologues hard here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a syndrome
style
monologue. Okay. Although she just come off as, like, even though she's talking like the crazy kind of, you know, just like no concept of reality, you know, jilted lover here.
Yes.
So she plays that well.
She does.
So she has Lex duct tape to a chair and then pour gasoline in
it's
a circle.
It's also gagged, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it's like, can't even speak for him. He's like, let me try to talk. He can't talk his way out of it.
Yes.
It's probably another reason. And this is where she's like, could have just said, hey, Samantha?
Shannon?
She says.
That's twice.
That's as bad as Lex. Just like
Lex. Just like Lex.
Hey, Shannon, good to see you. She would have dropped it all, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't, right? So she had called the other girl, said Lex wants to make it up to you at the hotel. Obviously, she had killed her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then drug Lex, and there we were, right? Clark puts all this together.
He does, because they're at the town. They run the check. Like, Lionel's people send over the purchase orders for the earrings.
Yeah, Chloe's like, oh, that's so helpful. Lionel, yeah. So they're really showing that Lionel is going above and beyond to help him.
I've been irrevocably changed.
Yeah, so I'm saving that till when he talks to the kids at the end, because that's its own conversation, right? But because I want to talk about that more. But you know, it's like, oh, it's so he basically just goes to the mansion to, they figure out that it was Shannon
who
wasn't the dead
them.
Girl. It was Shannon who works at. He's like, how do I know that? How do I know that name?
Uh-huh. Martha, Shannon.
Why did you say that day? It's like, oh, it's from the lawyer's office. So it all kind of, they all make sense to them now. And he super speeds in and he sees what's going on. And I got to say, this is a pretty badass save, right? Because he uses the cape, right? The cape on NBC. The canceled heroes, as bad as heroes was, they canceled it for the cape.
6 seasons in a movie.
Hey, maybe we'll do a Patreon special on the cape sometime. There's only 9 episodes. So, just for my love for Community, is maybe retroactive of the cape. So
that show's not going to make it.
6 seasons in a movie. 3 weeks, whatever he said.
Yeah.
There was a 10th episode they only put online.
Uh-huh.
Didn't even follow the show. I saw the cape. I think I maybe took a picture of this and put it on the social media at some point.
Yeah.
There was like a row of the Cape complete series DVD at Half Price Books once
like
$5. I didn't buy it. Don't worry. There'll be plenty of copies of the Cape. But he pulls off the jacket and he uses some science and some physics. I'm not sure exactly if this would work in this way.
Yeah.
And it probably would have engulfed Lex and then gone up to the ceiling.
Correct.
But she, since she made this ring of fire, around, mm-hmm. where's Johnny Cash's ring of fire? Now, exactly. Down when the flames went higher.
It's two missed opportunities for perfect song choice.
And he
he funnels it out. He funnels the fire.
Yeah, funnel. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Wait,
learn that from Flash.
Yeah, the arms, the yeah. helicopter arms. So he does that round and round and round. The fire goes up to the ceiling, dissipates. Lex is conscious the whole time.
Yes,
he does not
see because Clark is behind him doing this.
Yeah, very smart. And then he knocks out
Aunt Robin.
Yeah. And this is plus one for a knockout to keep Clark's secret. Yeah.
Robin Mosby is down for the count.
Yeah, and that's the last we see of her up until How I Met Your Mother.
Hey-o!
And then I guess it was The Avengers were the first movie she was in, right?
Yeah.
So 2012. Mm-hmm. So okay, and I guess she's gonna be in even more.
Yeah.
Coming up. They just kind of randomly use her and don't, and it's like,
yeah,
okay.
Well, because you know, in the comics, Maria does become head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Head of the DEO.
Yeah, basically.
She's Alex Danvers of the Marvel Universe. So.
Well, as it stands right now, she's way better than Alex.
Well, they never made a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. I mean, they totally should have, you know? Well,
that's what the show, like...
That's what the show
should have been.
It's like, oh, good. We have a woman who starred in a broadcast TV show. Let's have her be the star of this show.
That's one of the things I thought was going to happen when there was like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, great. You know, Commander Hill could be a part of this show. Nah.
Agents of not S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. So.
S.H.I.E.L.D. was disbanded halfway through the first season.
I know, right?
Where's your synergy, Marvel? Where is your plan? Anyway. But yeah, so again... Before they were famous, right?
Yeah.
She's a big... People talk about Amy Adams all the time, and mm-hmm. even Dean Winchester over here.
Yes.
Jason Teague. Jensen Ackles. There you go.
Yeah.
All three of those names are interchangeable to me in what order I remember them, right? But, I mean, she's a huge one.
She is.
So, anyway. So she's knocked out, and then Lex just kind of looks around, and he's saved.
Yeah, know? And he sees this ring, like, you know, the ring. Yeah.
Ring of fire. And it's interesting, because him and Lionel had experiences that are very similar, right? Because
yes.
Lionel was talking to Clark, and he's like... up and I've been changed and it was a miracle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lex, like, you know, he sees this kind of like the car accident. It's another, like, it's like a miracle to say
yes.
We got to take a chance, you know. So we get from that to Clark and the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking, and Clark's talking to his parents about, like, is this whole side of Lex I never knew before? I'm like, you've been friends with this guy for like 4 years.
Yeah.
You knew
some stuff.
Yeah. Because like, how much else do I not know about you, Lex? I'm like, I don't know. How much does he not know about you?
Yeah,
Clark?
For real.
I agree. Like, as the episode really kind of awkwardly goes out of its way to be like, Lex was in the wrong, right? But
yes.
But she had a fiance, so she was kind of... That's the thing. Like, she acts like the victim so bad. And again, Lex did her wrong.
Yes, he did.
But she, like... She was equally responsible in screwing up her life. She broke up with... She's like, I broke up with my fiance, and then I called you. And you didn't talk to him. I'm like, no. Like, you made some bad choices too, Aunt Robin.
She did.
Okay. So Aunt Robin. So
she did.
So Clark's talking.
Should have been with Ted from the beginning.
So Clark's talking to, I never watched that show. I've only seen some episodes, and I do know how it ends. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I spoiled Smallville enough.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna spoil that show. But as I understand it from people who have watched the show, they thought I was disappointing. Hey, what else do I have in common with Smallville? The Ted guy, right?
Yeah.
It took me several years of that show being on the air to know that guy existed. Because I'm like, it's got Jason Segel.
Uh-huh.
It's got the girl from Buffy.
Yep.
It's
Neil
got
Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris. And it's got Chloe Smulders. I'm like, wait, there's a fifth character?
Wait,
oh, yeah.
He's the main character.
it's America's Funny Home Videos doing the voiceover.
Yeah. Temple grad to you.
Why would he do the voiceover? Why didn't they just get Ted to do it?
Because
he's older Ted?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And why am I blanking out? Tom Savage, you know, Fred Savage. What's his name?
Tom Savage again.
No, we're going to figure it out on air, live, unedited.
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, Tom Savage, Fred Savage. Yeah,
there we go.
It's like, why would you get Bob Saget to be like, I'm your voice at 50 instead of 25, son?
Because it's Bob Saget.
Anyway.
And it's funny to see him do stuff that's not Full House.
Yeah, or America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, exactly.
Most obsolete show. This show's still on?
It is.
What?
Tom Bergeron is doing it now.
Right. Newsflash, internet. You don't need that anymore.
Yeah, just go to YouTube.
Just go scroll in your Twitter feed. So,
or Vine. Vine's dead.
RIP Vine. Pour it out for Vine.
Yep.
So... Martha and Jonathan are talking to Clark about this, and Jonathan's like, well, Lex is never going to change. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Jonathan? He goes, that's so inconsistent writing. It's like they're reading the season one Bible when they wrote this episode, right? And, well, Clark does reveal to them. It's like, so there's something else I should tell you guys. I'm going to see Lionel. They're like, you what? Because last time we didn't see Lionel, he stole his powers. And he's like, no, listen, he really did change. I can see it in his eyes. He was very helpful. And again, like...
He's like, Clark, does he know?
Yeah. And no, he doesn't. But he's like, well, I think I healed him. They're like, what?
And they're like, crap.
But yeah, so I like they at least address this. Like, okay, now everyone knows what's going on like with him. But let's talk about this for a second. And we talked about it when we talked about it in our Transference podcast. But it is BS that, like, he was physically healed, right? Mm-hmm. And, like...
Spiritually?
Spiritually healed, right? Like he's like, there's something strong and... good. And you're like, does he know? Does he remember?
Yeah.
Like, I think they're still trying to, like, they're waiting to, like, sit on that. We can reveal that Lionel knows about Clark when we want.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's vague enough right now. But I think it's BS that like, first of all, I think they both should have remembered.
I agree.
Or they both should have forgot. But see, the thing is, Clark remembered when he was in Lionel. Mm-hmm. And Lionel remembered when he was in Clark, right? Or didn't remember.
Yeah.
So that's a discontinuity. Now, I know he's Kryptonian and all that stuff. But, like, okay, fine. Lionel forgot.
Okay.
But don't also heal him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of cheap having to be a twofer, right?
I agree. They need to pick a lane.
Well, they just didn't.
Can't straddle the fence on this one, Clark.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's them not knowing what to do with Lionel at this point. Because he was the big bad of the show up till now. And now we have Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman as your big bad. So they put him in this direction. And through most of this season, from this point, up until Onyx, you know, he's like, I'm good altruistic Lionel Luthor. And you're like, okay, that's interesting. Because he's like, that darkness inside me is gone now. But I see it in Lex. And you're like, all right, I love John Glover as an actor in this character, so I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Just don't go back and forth, right? And they kind of do.
They do.
And same thing, Siler, same problem on Heroes, right? But that's the problem, though. I just think that's cheap for both to have happened. Like, he's healthy now, and he's good, right? It would have been more interesting maybe he was healthy... and evil still, or that would have been a repeat, but maybe not healthy and good, or...
something like that.
I don't know. But, all that to say, I love John Glover on this show, and it was very interesting to see these dynamics between, because Clark is, like, trusting him more than Lex at this point, right?
In
this
episode. He even says so, like, he's like, you know, to Lex later in the barn scene, like, after this. He's like, Lex, I think, you know, your father's been more honest with me than you are, and he's like, I don't like that.
Yeah, and then and this is also the scene where, because this is right after the scene, he's in the loft, and he says that, there's a whole side of you I've never seen before. What else do I not know about you? I'm like, that is so hypocrite. Clark is such a hypocrite.
Yes, he is.
This whole show, right? So, it's also a scene where Lex is like, yeah, so I treat those women terribly, and I feel bad about it. And Clark's like, okay, well, that's a good first step, but are you going to stop this now? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know,
like,
right?
I appreciate the honesty, but dude, like...
Yeah.
Like, come on, wake up, right?
Get it together.
Because, you know, Lex is like... it just kind of shows like a kind of depression that he has too. He's like, you wake up every day and you struggle to keep going and that kind of stuff. Like, really, Lex? Because you got a pretty good life. I mean, you've gotten your brain fried and you forgot most of the bad stuff that happened to you, right? So I understand. Look, I get what they're saying with that, but they're trying to use that as like an excuse for him to like dispose of women in this way. Interesting. Yeah, an unexpected side path to his road to darkness, I guess, right?
Yeah, basically. And then, you know, there's the whole, like, you know, don't give up on me. And then Clark just kind of looks at him. But, you know, it's like...
I don't think that song had come out yet.
I don't know.
But if it had, it's a third perfect opportunity song they didn't use. So, he has his pattern of behavior. And then don't really... See, I say this, right? I would have preferred they keep this kind of Lex plot going instead of the Lana stuff.
Yeah,
because from this point forward, from like mid-season four onward, it's Lex and Lana, and he only has eyes for Lana even more than Clark.
I only have eyes.
Did they ever use that in the show? They should have.
No, they used it in 61 in Relic.
It's called Relic. Yeah,
it's called 61.
It's called 1960 Smallville 1961.
It was promoted as Smallville 1961, so I'm gonna call it Smallville 1961.
So, speaking of the women of Lex Luthor, there is a little sidebar in the bound entry of the official companion on this. And I don't know if Craig wrote this. I know Craig wrote the sidebars in the first three seasons because he wasn't the main author. Now he's the main author. I'm going to ask him about this. Lex Luthor's women. Shannon Bell, which is one of the women, we have seen Lex Luthor with on Smallville. Here's a look at some of the other ladies in Lex Luthor's past. And it says Amanda Rothman, Victoria Hardwick, and Dr. Helen Bryce. Now, we know about Victoria and Helen. Amanda, if you don't recall, she's from Zero. Okay. Right? And that's kind of, and as Goff mentioned, you know, in the quote in here, like this, that kind of spun off from that, I think. But this is the paragraph on Amanda.
Okay.
Or at least the first couple sentences. Amanda was an engaged woman who had an affair with Lex Luthor, discovering that her fiancé, Jude Royce, had also been seeing other people. She shot Royce, and Lex and his team tried to put the blame on someone else. So, that's incorrect. I never got the impression that they had an affair. I thought he was just a friend of hers, and he knew that her fiancé was a jerk,
yeah,
and he exposed him. I never got the vibe that they were like having an affair or something. So I don't know. Maybe that was in the script somewhere and never made it to the screen. But that, and the episode itself, that was never established. I just want to put that out there. So
agreed.
Anyway. So then we have our final scene of this episode, and Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman wants to talk to Dean Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's storming, right?
Yeah.
He goes out to this limo, right? Because we have no rich evil people in power right now. So that is why she's in the limo, right?
Yeah,
she's filling the Luther role
100%.
Of the show, right? And
in her Mercedes.
Hey, she's a redhead. So
yeah.
So
and he also plays the Red Hood in Under the Red Hood.
It's all connected, right? But Lytle kind of you wonder if they had a thing at some point when they start getting some scenes together later on. But so they have this dialogue in the car. What's it about here, Litz?
It's about like how he didn't want her there and didn't like her going to meet Lana without him, you know, behind his back. But the interesting takeaway here is she's like, Lana really is beautiful. So, like, no wonder you went around the world to find her. And that's when Jason, perceptively, is like, did I meet her on purpose? Which kind of, like, gives you some insight.
Well, of course you met her by accident. How else would you have met her?
Yeah, all right.
Evil Mary Poppins over here.
Yeah.
But
it kind of shows it like they have a whole Luther dynamic. It was like, you know, like he's like
he was the poor man's Lex though when he showed up. Right?
Yeah,
but so no, he did. You know what? I mentioned the dad earlier. He did mention his father's firm, okay. So he's still
alive. Maybe
continuity is not the strong part with the Teagues, right?
No,
because like you're right, it's perceptive of Jason.
Yes,
but then you're like, okay, they're having a private conversation in the car here,
mm-hmm.
And we fast forward and like to the end of the season, and you know, like how everything went down. Like, so who? Who gave Lana this tattoo now?
I don't know.
In retrospect, you think, oh, he must have been in on it the whole time. But here he's like the, you know, kind of just in the middle of something bigger than himself.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. So it seems that way. So, because it's obvious, like you can see from their interaction, you know, he's.
Do this,
know,
mother.
You know? Yeah, like he's like resentful of her and her style of living. And she's been like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
My mother has a right to see her son.
Yeah. And it's obvious that she's up to something. Mm-hmm. And that's why he perceptively asks, is like, did I meet her on purpose?
So which would have been interesting, again, had they not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this will track. Maybe Jason just did go crazy near the end. But. It's weird because if he's going to, the way he turns out, you assume that he would have been on like her side with all this stuff all along,
yeah.
But she's not really there for them. She's really there for Lana. Right. Cause there's a connection like, oh, what's an enchanting young woman, right?
Too.
Cause she's a witch. So we leave that there and there's all this lightning, like red lights on their face. It's pretty cool. Pretty effective. It's a great scene of Supernatural. Am I right?
She's still wearing red too.
She's still wearing red. So he gets out of the car and,
behind the Talon.
Yeah, behind the Talon. It's got that Barnyard Bash sign in the back, mm-hmm. and all that stuff, right? Drives off in the rain, and that's kind of where we end.
I wanted to say thank you. And I'm sorry. I know you're only trying to help me.
How long is this going to continue, Lex?
I don't know. What do you want me to tell you?
I don't want you to tell me anything. I want you to change.
I don't know if I can.
You know, it seems the only person that you care about is yourself. There's a whole side of you that I don't know about, Lex. And what else don't I know about you?
You don't know that every day I wonder why I keep going. Why I do the things I do. You know, Shanna might have been crazy, but she was right about me. I treated those women terribly, Clark. People died, and I could have stopped it. I see that now. That's a start. You know, there was a moment the other night when that fire she set was coming towards me. I thought, good. Saved the world a lot of grief. But somehow the fire went out. And she was lying on the floor. And suddenly I had a second chance. Last few days, Lex, I thought your father was being more honest with me than you were. And I hated that feeling. I felt like we were enemies. Don't give up on me yet.
Bound got an 8.0 out of 10 on IMDb. And Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 1 out of 5. So this is a tough stretch of Smallville for Neil.
Yeah. He's not having a good time.
Season 4 might break him. You guys read the reviews for yourselves. I'll post it on the social media. But yeah, I believe that's 3 in a row, 1 out of 5.
Yeah.
For Neil. So Neil really did. You guys think I hate season 4. You go over to Superman homepage. That's gonna hate season 4. So Lance, out of 10. On the letter grade scale, we're changing it up, guys. No. So on the letter grade scale, mm-hmm. what would you give Bound?
You know, I'm struggling between B minus and C plus. I'm gonna go with B minus.
I'm also gonna go with B minus.
Okay.
When this started, I was like, this is a D episode. This
exactly.
is garbage, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, it's interesting. It kind of clawed its way back up
exactly.
from the depths. Got some hiccups. You know, if it wasn't, honestly, cut out the Teague stuff, Alana, give it a B, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the problem, like, because I was saying with Spell or even Jinx, right? I'm like, hey, Clark and Lana are talking to each other again, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so at least our main characters are having conversations. But we're back to her plot being completely
isolated from the main thing.
Just tangential to the nth degree.
Yeah.
You cut all the scenes out, changes nothing. Martha's interaction with them has nothing to do with anything. The only reason Martha works at the Talon now...
So she could pass the Bechdel test?
Yeah, I guess so. So we do have that. So we'll talk about that in a second. But it's, it's an interesting concept to be in the world of the Luthers, right? Mm-hmm. When it started, I'm like, man, is this the first bad Lex episode? But no, it was actually, you know, it was decent.
It was decent.
It really, I mean, like, started at the bottom and now we're here, right?
Yes, 100%. Shout to you, Drizzy.
But yeah, way too much over the top 30s here. And the Lionel stuff is interesting. And it doesn't last as long as it maybe should. You know, perhaps leave him in jail the rest of this season. I don't know. They get him out of jail way too quick,
yeah.
in my opinion. But anyway, so B minus for you, B minus for me. At least one to our tally board. We had a plus one for Chloe's unseen connections because it was either the elevator footage or was it the coroner where they were
elevator footage,
all that stuff.
And then she says, like, I have people at the bottom. That was the main thing.
So there is one Chloe unseen connections here. So that is going to bring us to 19.
Okay.
For that, and then we have a plus one for a blue shirt, red jacket, which Clark wears in a couple scenes. He uses the jacket to put out the fire, mm-hmm. which just tells me he has a whole closet full of these
That's correct.
Things. And, you know, I have that. Like, if I have favorite clothes, I have multiple versions of them, just in case, you know.
Just in case.
You never know. So that brings us to 16
okay.
for blue shirt, red jacket. And then finally, we have a plus one for knockouts to keep Clark's secrets, because Murray Hill gets knocked out at the end of the episode. And that is going to bring us to 24 so far.
All right.
So we also have Bechdel test pass, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The first half, in classic Smallville fashion, a character enters the scene, talks to one character, and then moves over to another character. She comes downstairs, talks to Martha about having a bad dream, and then moves on to Dr. Good Medicine Woman. So that is a Bechdel test pass. So there you have it. For Bound, that was an interesting episode.
It was a very interesting episode.
You could 100% skip this episode if not for the introduction of Jason's mom.
Yeah.
Although even then, I forget the next time we see her, but like it's such a thing here of like, like Lana dreaming of her is the big thing. Mm-hmm. But I know they revisit that nightmare later and talk about it.
Oh yeah.
So like
they're gonna use that stock footage again.
Like I'm not even kidding, because I'm very tempted to re-edit season 4 and just see what I can do just to edit this stuff out. But we'll see. But yeah. So if more than anything else, this one is popular or known for Colby Smulders mm-hmm. being an appearance, and she's in a lot less of it than I thought too.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, when's she gonna show up? I know she's the dead person or whatever, but yeah. And then of course Jane Seymour makes her first appearance. So there you have it. So Lance, it's been fun talking to you about Bound this week, which, by the way, why was this episode called Bound?
Because Eve was bound and dead when she was next to Lex.
I was thinking that. I was thinking of Lex bound to the chair. Also that Shannon?
Yeah.
Hello!
Got it!
Was bound to him somehow, you know? Okay. Obsession would have been a good name for this one.
It's true.
Perhaps Attraction. Perhaps Fatal. I'm just thinking, you know. It's like, I don't know, Bound doesn't really fit.
Yeah.
One does not immediately come to mind, an alternate title.
Yeah.
But this is, it's much like Precipice, right? That's another one. I'm like, okay, that title won't really fit this episode. So I don't think Bound fits this one either. So
it's true.
Indiscretion. Huh?
Ah.
Yeah, there it is. So I had, Conniption for Precipice.
Okay.
Indiscretion for Bound. Those are my two alternate episode titles. So anyway, a lot of fun talking about indiscretion this week, Lance. Where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at Sir Lance Laster.
Alrighty, as for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonCach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM podcasting network. We talk about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. Find us on Facebook at Always Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back next time talking about Scare. But until then, always hold on Smallville.
Based upon faith and not fear. People who live right now and right here. I want a wisdom that wise men need.